Welcome to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast. Are you ready to go beyond your beliefs? Welcome back to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast, where we inspire you to go beyond the boundaries of your beliefs. I am your host, Jerrica.
I'm your host, Toya.
Welcome to the space. welcome back, tribe, to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast. We are on episode 3, which is very exciting. Definitely hope that you tuned in for the previous episode, which was all about beliefs. And so with episode 3, we are going to kind of expand off of that topic and talk about manifesting and the law of attraction. Toya, this is all in your territory.
Well, I was going to say, like you said, this is our third podcast episode, and we are excited to share this space with our listeners. So today, we're talking about law of attraction and manifesting. So what is law of attraction? And so law of attraction is the belief. It's a belief that suggests that your positive thoughts will bring positive outcome, while your negative thoughts will bring a negative outcome. And the manifesting is just simply the outcome of what you've attracted in your life. And so when you're talking about law of attraction, there are a lot of different beliefs around the law of attraction. Some people may feel it'll happen right away, which it can. Some feel like you have to put work behind it. Or some people may feel like it never comes at all. So today we're going to talk about understanding manifesting your desires. Is there anything you want to add, Jerrica?
No, I think that was... And no, as I continue to tell you, I think. I think that was perfect. Basically, law of attraction supports that, you know, it basically works in the subconscious mind, but it suggests that our thoughts create our reality. And so, like Toya said, whether you have a positive thought or a negative thought, it creates a vibration, and that vibration attracts things into your life and can repel things. So whatever we put out into the universe essentially will come back to us. And you cannot talk about the law of attraction and not bring up either The Secret or Esther Hicks or Abraham Hicks, because those are definitely like some of the more popular go-tos when it comes to this topic. So I wanted to bring up this quote actually from Abraham Hicks. And she says, law of attraction says that which is like unto itself is drawn, which means vibrations are always matched. So as you experience the contrast, which inspires the new idea within you, this new idea, this desire, whether it is a strong one or a soft one, is summoning unto itself proportionately. And as it summons, it is always answered. It is the basis of our universe. And so she says that when it is asked, it is always given. The confusion that humans feel is that they think they are asking with their words or even with their actions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you are. But the universe is not responding to your words or your action. The universe is responding to your vibrational calling.
Mm-hmm. The universe responds to your vibration. And, you know, we vibrate at different frequencies. Mm-hmm. And that's going to determine what you're going to have at the time, what you're open to receive at the time. And that's why it may appear that what you're wanting to manifest is not happening as quick as you would like, but it's because you're not vibrating at the frequency that you need to be in order to receive what you're asking for.
Right.
So the thing with manifesting is you have to believe what you're thinking. You have to believe that you're worth it. You have to believe that you deserve what it is that you're asking for. And then you have to trust that the universe is going to give it to you.
Right.
There is a lot of focus sometimes on the manifestation itself. And so I ask myself, how do you desire something but not be attached to the outcome? And that can be very, very difficult depending on where you are in your life and what it is that you think you need.
Ooh, yes.
the key I just said is think you need. You don't really need it. You think you need it. And so that's the very first step, is believing that you are a god or goddess and that you already have everything that you need. And when you have everything that you, when you believe that you have everything that you need, then you're not extremely focused on the outcome. You may want a certain thing, but you're okay if the universe gives it to you in a different way, which, and that would be, not saying you can't have exactly what you want to have, but we are different. And who I am today, I may not be the same next year. I may not be the same the year after that or the year after that. So when I am putting out this, what it is that I'm putting out in the atmosphere that I want to manifest, I like to leave the door open for the universe to be able to give me the very best of what I'm asking for without limitations on it, or without me seeing exactly how I want it to be, because the journey to get there may not look like I think it should look in order to have this specific outcome. But then by the time I catch up with my frequency, then I may not even want that again, or I may have wanted something better with it.
Yeah.
You know, it may be 5 years before my frequency catches up. Mm-hmm. So that's the main thing, is working on ourselves as individuals, believing first, like I said, you're worth it. You deserve it. It can happen to you. It's, you know, just addressing the limited beliefs.
Right. And,
And
sometimes your desires or your request has to catch up with the opportunity. Like, there has to be an opportunity presented in order for the manifestation to even take place. So, for example, in my own life, for the longest time when I was younger and I was truly having a hard time with being a darker skinned woman of color. Mm-hmm. And so I used to get picked on as a kid for having the darker skin. And I used to tell myself, like, when I have kids, I want light-skinned kids because I don't want them to go through the same things that I felt like I went through and getting picked on or not feeling chosen or pretty enough, et cetera. And so I would say that all the time. Now, nothing can happen with that manifestation until I put myself in the position to get pregnant, for that to even be a possibility, right? So, of course, once I got married and then got pregnant with my daughter, and lo and behold, she came out light-skinned baby, like my mom. My mom is lighter skin. So then 11 months later, I'm getting ready to have my son. And well, actually, when I got pregnant with my son, I was like, okay, I see what's going on here, but I'm like, you know, at this point, I've done some self-healing. I'm confident in being a brown-skinned, darker-skinned woman, and I want me a baby that resembles that. So I'm pregnant with my son. I'm all excited. I'm saying, yeah, this is what I want. And I give birth, and he's as light as my daughter. And And it's so crazy because it's like, I don't think it mattered how hard I prayed for a chocolate baby. I had so many more prayers for the lighter skin, you know? And so I feel like you definitely have to be careful what you ask for. Like Toya said, sometimes things have to catch up, and sometimes they have to catch up with the opportunity. So I could have been saying that all I wanted to while I was younger, but if I wasn't, you know, fertile, or if I wasn't having sex, then there wasn't going to be an opportunity to produce any colored child, you know. But as soon as the opportunity presented itself, where I made it, I put myself in position to receive that manifestation, that's the first one that was in line, because I had all these years of thinking that way. I had that subconscious belief that that was what I wanted. And so that is what ended up manifesting. Not my newer, you know,
your conscious belief.
7 years, right.
You were conscious about when you're subconscious, you were a child. That's when it's your subconscious is forming.
Oh, yeah.
Everything you're intaking. Yeah, everything you're taking in, you believe, you're believing it. And, you know, you form your beliefs as a child. So yeah. Because as what you experienced as a child, you already formed that belief. So now you fast forward and now you're an adult. Mm-hmm. You consciously see the difference, know the difference, want something different. But that subconscious hasn't been dealt with. And you haven't. And some of those things, when we're a child, we don't even remember that it's down in there.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not manifesting. So it's, you know, like, more inner child healings and things like that, and just trying to reprogram your mind and try to change that subconscious belief and get to a knowing. And that's what I was going to say as far as being that I am, that being that God or that goddess, it's the thing that you know that you want, you're going to attract it. So if you want love, then you be love. And then that's when you're saying, I am love. So if you're love, you're going to begin to attract that love that you right. want. You know, you want abundance. Instead of, I want abundance comes from a place of, it sounds like it comes from a place of need. Mm-hmm. It sounds like I don't have abundance, but I want it right now. So if you're operating in the want, then you're going to attract a wanting situations. It's going to keep you in lack
perpetually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, Neil Donald Walsh talks about that in the Conversations with God book. Mm-hmm. Because he and God are having the conversation about creating things and how action is creative. And so, you know, God's like, so do you ever have the thought of, I want worldly success? Mm-hmm. And Neil's like, yeah. He's like, do you ever think, I want more money? And Neil's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, then you can't have worldly success nor more money. Mm-hmm. And Neil's like, wait, what just happened? What do you mean? And he said, because the universe has no choice but to bring you the direct manifestation of your thought about it. Your mm-hmm. thought, or Neil's thought, was, I want worldly success. And he was like, you have to understand that your words have creative power, and it's like a genie in a bottle. So basically, the fact that he was saying, I want, mm-hmm. is producing you wanting. It's not producing you having. Mm-hmm. And that's the big difference. So it's like, what you really want to say is, I am mm-hmm. successful. I mm-hmm. am wealthy. I am rich. And like mm-hmm. Toya said, you know, when you don't feel like that's, when you don't feel
you're what saying you're only, asking for, right. yeah,
then it can become very difficult. And it's like, am I psyching myself out? Am I lying to myself? And the answer is no, because, and Abraham talks about it a lot in her books too, it really comes down to the feeling. You have to be able to conjure up what it would feel like to mm-hmm. be in that vibration, to be wealthy, what it would feel like to be successful. What are the emotions that you may have in order to help you feel like you're there right now.
Yes.
So if you, and I think that's where, and I don't know if any of our listeners know, but, you know, manifesting using orgasms and sex is definitely a thing. And just us talking about this part shows me why that works, because when you're in a state of pleasure, you're feeling all the feel-good things. So it's an automatic opportunity for you to also think about the things that you want to manifest while you're having the pleasurable emotions of joy and happiness, and you are feeling, I mean, on cloud 10. So you can use the amplification of what that orgasm is going to give you and think about the things that you want to manifest in your life, and boom, there you have what you're asking for, plus the feelings, the vibrations, the emotions to support it in the moment. Now, after you
that you already have it, make sure you're thinking that you have it already.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's easier to think that when you're in a state of pleasure, because you're already in such an uplifted mood. But you know, if you're just waking up 6 o'clock in the morning, you're in traffic, you know, your day isn't going the way you want. And then here I come telling you, hey, you're wealthy. You might be looking at me like, girl, please. What do you mean? Would I be clocked in right now if I'm so wealthy? But yeah, so like using pleasure as a way to manifest, definitely a thing. Definitely something people should look into. I know I've definitely done some sex manifestations. So
yeah, and Abraham Abraham Hicks talks about it a lot, like she said, and they have like tons of YouTube videos that teach you how to manifest and teach you about the law of attraction. Because the look, you said, I said the sex magic. It that pleasurable place, that feeling that you have, that's the feeling you would have if you were trying to manifest that the $1 million or the car or the home or the babies, you know. And when you're feeling that state of mind, that's what helps you raise your vibrations and attract that what you're trying to attract. That's when the you're raising your vibrations and the universe is responding accordingly based on what it is that you feel you deserve, that you truly feel you deserve, you should have. One of the key things for me is to not really talk about it, because when you're sharing any type of doubt that someone could possibly inject in there is going to make your manifestation difficult if you are not in a knowing place yet. Even you yourself, if you even think about it too much, you're bound to say something negative depending on what it is that you're talking about. You're bound to say something that's going to be conflicting what it is you're trying to bring to you. And that just takes a longer and longer time for you. Everything should be aligned.
And they're more than likely projecting their fears anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and then they get you all riled up and afraid of something that didn't even bother you, you know, until they brought it to your attention. And now you're hesitant.
Right. And once it comes to your attention, then you feel like everything they're saying is justifiable because it's not making sense and you're understanding what they're saying. Even that, oh, I understand what you're saying. Right. You're still putting energy into the opposite of what it is that you're desiring.
Yep. So, and that's why, like, even when you hear something as simple as how, you know, people will say, don't tell everybody your business as far as like what goals and what you plan to do. That's why they say stuff like that, because it's like, you don't want to tell people something and then they basically start praying against you. Even with the best intentions, they still, because they have certain fears about it, then they're putting fearful and doubtful energy into what you're trying to manifest, you know? And for some people, depending on how strong they feel about, you know, their views or their opinions about what you're manifesting, they might literally pray against you because they think that their perspective is for your own good. So it's like, you know, they can get home and be like, oh yeah, spirit, don't let her be with that man because he's this, he's that, blah, blah, blah. Or don't let her get that house because that's too far from such and such. And she don't need to be living out there. And, you know, it's stuff like that. Like people literally, but they'll think they're helping you because they think they know what's best.
Right. They know what's best for you opposed to them praying for your highest good.
Exactly.
How it serves you. And, you know, like if you're a pessimistic person, manifesting it will be a little bit more difficult.
Yes, you're gonna have to be optimistic. Is at the end of the day, you can't and this is something Abraham Hicks mentioned too, which is that you can't expect to plant apples but then or plant apple seeds and then grow oranges. So the journey matters just as much as the destination. So if the destination, which in this case is whatever it is that you want to manifest, so let's just say $1,000. So your destination is manifesting $1,000. Okay, but if your whole journey on the way there is pessimistic, negative, fearful, and doubtful, what makes you think that you're going to be able to manifest $1,000 at the end of this journey? Because that's not what you've been planting. That's not what you have not watered nor planted a mindset to support you getting $1,000. You've been planting and watering everything to repel getting the manifestation or repelling getting what it is that you're asking for. So I think people also have to realize that the journey is very important, if not more important, because the journey is going to determine whether or not you even get to your destination. So your thoughts will definitely matter. And if you believe, oh, you know, I have to work hard, I have to struggle, I have to pay the price, and then I'll be rewarded for that struggle, you are not going to have happiness as your destination at all. Whatever the seed is, that's the fruit that you're going to get. So if you want your destination to be abundance and prosperity and wealth and love and joy, then you're going to have to be cultivating a mindset that supports those things during the journey. Because every decision you make and every thought, as long as it's being watered with things that support your destination, then you getting to your destination is definitely more likely to happen for you. And so something that Neil Donald Walsh also mentions is that you're always creating. So where you think, oh, so I did this to myself, especially if it's something bad and you're thinking, oh, so I called this to myself, I attracted this to myself. Not consciously. Consciously, you did not choose it. Consciously. But subconsciously, you created it. And I like how he talks about the difference between choosing something and creating something. So no, we're not saying that you chose for whatever that not so good thing was to happen into your life. We're not saying you consciously chose it, but in some way you attracted it to yourself with your thoughts, with your words, with your actions.
So then when you're starting to manifest things, be intentional when you have your conversations, and make sure that you're talking about things that's in the direction that you want to talk about, you know, that you want to see an outcome. I think that would definitely help you to begin to manifest faster. And like Jericho was saying, you choosing it opposed to you choosing it, it's just happening to you, or is it happening for you? So is it happening to you or happening for you? So if you're wanting things to happen for you, then you begin to create, and then you can have whatever life you want. Because you're the creator, you can acknowledge it. And some of the things that may have been created that you are unaware of, once you can acknowledge, that's one of the things that Neil says in his book also. If you can acknowledge that you have created this,
yeah,
and see where it comes from, at that moment, you can decide to change it.
Yeah.
At that moment, you can change whatever the experience is that you no longer want. It no longer serves you because you're in a different place from when you actually asked for it.
Exactly.
But you're actually getting it. So even daily, even the small things that you may have asked for, if we can identify the small things that show up in our lives that we have asked for that maybe we don't remember, or we don't acknowledge because it may not be big enough. It can be something even as, you know, you need extra money to go to the grocery store, and you know, and hey, someone could bless you with the extra $100 or however it come, but that's still something that you created.
Yes.
You spoke that you wanted that, you wanted extra money, but that's not something that you dwell on. That's why it can come quicker.
Yeah.
Because you put it out there, you know, I got to go to the grocery store Friday. I need the extra $100. You leave it. You go on. You're not even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday, you just like, oh, damn, did somebody just zail me? And then it could be somebody that owed you money before, or somebody who just felt led to be a blessing to you. And then, but we go on and we don't really acknowledge that as manifesting, as creating, because it's not as granular as a house or a car or vacation in its specific country or something like that. So when we acknowledge the smaller manifestations daily, then the gratitude is raising your frequency.
Oh, yeah.
And the universe is going to continue to give and give and give.
Yeah.
Because now you're grateful. You're acknowledging it. You're not, I just want this, the big stuff, and I ain't got time for the little stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the little stuff is so minute.
Yeah.
You don't even see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
And so I definitely, when you start to show gratitude daily, the manifestations will continue to come faster and faster, because you're what? You're mood, you're joyful, you're excited, you're noticing now that,
and
oh,
gratitude
this happened.
Does not mean begging. Okay.
Right.
Gratitude just means being appreciative, grateful, and thankful. It does not mean groveling. It does not mean begging and pleading. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because the subconscious belief behind you begging and pleading is a little bit of you not feeling worthy of or deserving of what you're asking for, as if you're asking for too much. So let me tell y'all. Okay, real talk, personal experience this week. So last Friday, which was July 15th, Toya and I attended a money confessions boot camp. And this boot camp was just, oh gosh, it was everything. And after that, I'm feeling all charged up. I'm feeling extra abundant and prosperous. And I told myself this week, I was like, I'm gonna make $800 this week. And I said it intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
I think about it every once in a while, but then I let it go and I go about my day. So today is July 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're on Wednesday. I'm already at $600.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, if you really put your mind to it, not be overly attached, but mean what you say when you're asking for it, and ask for it with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's your birthright to be abundant. It is your birthright to live in prosperity and to be abundant in health, in wealth, in love, in joy, you know, whatever abundance looks like for you. And so I will say, and I was just going to suggest that we get into some things that you can do to help with the law of attraction and manifestation. And the number one thing that I would put on the list would be you have to do the work to unlearn the things that have contributed to you having a mindset of lack and scarcity in the first place. And for a lot of us, that could be church or religious based. Depends on your upbringing, of course, because we all grew up differently. But for me, growing up in the Christian church, you are basically taught that your struggles, your trials and tribulations, that's a good thing. Count it all joy, because you're going to be rewarded for those things. So it gives you this impression that it's a good thing when you're going through hell. It's a good thing when you're struggling. It's a good thing when you can barely pay your bills, but you'll put your money in the tithing and in the offering basket. So you guys have to understand that if that is your background, you're going to struggle a little bit with feeling like you can manifest and attract anything you want without having to go through a whole bunch of struggles, or without having to give up so much of yourself just to get something back. And I just think it's really important to put that out there, because if you find that you are pessimistic or you're always going to the negative, you have to ask yourself where that is coming from. If you grew up in church, you were literally taught that you were born in sin. Like, so you were taught that you were born bad. You were born in the worst way. So how could you feel worthy of being abundant and being blessed truly if you don't even feel like you had a chance getting birthed into the universe? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that you definitely have to work on your subconscious first. There's healing that has to take place. There are limited beliefs that you have to remove. And I do think that that's the best place to start, because as long as you're consciously saying something, but you're subconsciously believing or feeling something completely different, mm-hmm. you are not going to manifest what it is that you want.
Yep.
So you want your subconscious and your conscious to actually be one with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that you would definitely manifest in a faster way. And like a lot of times, to me, ask yourself the hard questions, like we said previously, do I believe in this, or why do I believe in this? Do I really believe in this, or do I believe in this because this is what I was told I mm-hmm. should believe? And just getting back to who you truly are, it's the getting to the core of who you are. I'm just in the last few years learning who I am. So it's not that you're an adult and you're grown and you know, because it's not a lot of people who actually know who they are. Actually, when I run across the people that do, I'm very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I am highly impressed when they know who they are and they stand on it. But for some of us, we don't know who we are, and we hold on to a lot of beliefs and we hide a lot of things because out of fear of who we really are, what we really believe, we're going to be shunned by our mm-hmm. family, by our loved ones. So we hide who we are. Yep. So definitely exploring that subconscious, figuring out what's there, figuring out maybe the emotions behind certain topics, certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's done, I believe that the manifestation process will be much easier. So mm-hmm. I definitely agree. I think the next thing is believing that you're a god or a goddess, and believing that you have everything that you need, where you're not desiring for anything. You know, it's not I truly, truly want this, and I'm
I'm losing it if I don't have it. When you believe that all your needs are met, it's easier for you to be able to be happy. And if, and it's, and that has nothing to do with the circumstance. You can't look at the circumstances. You have to be unwavering in manifesting.
Yes. Yep, 100%. In manifesting, whether it's with money, whether it's with a career, love, whatever it is, in my opinion, it's lower three chakra related. So another thing that you can do is to look into and read up on the lower three chakras, which would be the root chakra, that's the red one, the sacral chakra is the orange one, and then the solar plexus, which is the yellow. Because as Toya mentioned about being secure in who you are, those three chakras is going to help with that. The root chakra is your entrance into this realm, into the world. So your root chakra is your inherent right to be here. And a part of your right to be here is the right to certain freedoms and freedoms to live abundantly, to have abundant health, to have abundant love, to be prosperous and successful, to thrive, and to, it's your inherent right to create and to do it intentionally. So definitely look at your root chakra, because that is going to help you understand your relationship to money. The sacral chakra is going to help with your relationship to creating and manifesting your desires, knowing what your desires are, understanding what your pleasures are, what makes you happy. And it's going to speak to some of the things that you create unconsciously. Whereas, say, for example, the throat chakra are things that you create more consciously, because the throat chakra is associated with purification. But the sacral chakra, it's the womb space. And what do we do for women in the womb? We create. So take a look at your sacral chakra to figure out what pleases you, where your creativity is. And then with the solar plexus, that's going to be identity, being you. It's yellow, it's the sun. If we're talking astrologically, this is your sun sign, your core vitality. This is where you draw your strength from. And so if your solar plexus is weak or blocked, then you'll definitely have a hard time manifesting, because you don't even know who you are. How can you then know what you want?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say if you are familiar with your astrology chart, definitely take a look at the second house to have a better understanding of your relationship with money. I would definitely look at the first house to get more in tune with the self and to better understand who you are. And then I would take a look even at the fourth house to get a better understanding of unconscious beliefs, because the fourth house is a private part of the chart. And so this is who you are when you are alone in the comfort of your own home. So if you feel like you have been living so separately from the core essence of who you are, take a look at your fourth house, because those are probably, and I would say too, it's probably some shadow stuff there in the fourth house. Mm-hmm. Because I am a Libra rising, but I have Capricorn on the fourth house. And being a Libra rising, I love all the beautiful things. I love being beautiful. I get along with everybody. People love my energy. They love my personality and all that. But having Capricorn on the fourth, I definitely hold some of those a little bit more standoffish. I can be. Mm-hmm. I can be a little bit more cold with my energy. Not really wanting to offer myself up to any and everybody that comes around. And I don't say that like Capricorn energy is negative at all, but it's definitely a more private side of me. I'm a lot more controlling than people would believe I am. Because I'm a Pisces, Libra rising, Libra moon. People may not think I'm controlling, but I do like structure. And that is Capricorn. That is my fourth house. And so those are some areas that I had to do a little bit of work to get more comfortable with expressing outwardly. Because my goodness, how would they view the Libra rising if I dare to set a boundary, which is Capricorn stuff, you know? So guys, there's so many tools that you can use to help you, but I think it goes back to the number one piece of advice that we gave, which is to understand what parts of you have contributed to the mindset that you have around being able to attract good things in your life. Is it that you haven't accepted yourself? Is it that you don't feel that you're even worthy of attracting good things? Are you still stuck in a mindset where you think you have to struggle and go through every trial and tribulation to prove yourself before you can get anything? Or do you not manifest because you're already thinking that you're investing in the afterlife? So maybe you just want to suffer here because you feel like all your riches are in the next life. But what about now?
And if that's a subconscious belief, then you're going to struggle with the manifesting.
Definitely.
Yeah. And one way know which chakras that you need to work on is you can evaluate some of the people around you and look and how they really, really, really know how to get under your skin. The things that they do that you can't stand, the way that they may talk, whatever kind of behavior they have, whatever. Mm-hmm. Notice that. Pay attention to those things about them. And then you ask yourself, why do I dislike this about a person so much? And then you'll start getting down to that shadow side of you, that thing in you that you suppress, that you don't want anyone to know, or whether it can be jealousy or envy or anything that can make you so irritable with whomever it is that's around you. Just to see what you can kind of take from it, just to kind of see what's the truth behind it. And then you can kind of get down to that hidden side of you that you're not aware of. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know, that a person may be more expressive. They may use their words better, and you may wish that you had the voice like that to be able to be expressive and say exactly what you feel, opposed to sugarcoating things. It can just be something as simple as that. Yeah. So that if you have that going on with you, are you feeling a lot of pleasure?
Yeah.
So if you're not feeling a lot of pleasure, or you can't get into that space, then that's going to affect your manifesting.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one more thing I'd like to mention that Abraham Hicks mentions in her books is the process of pivoting. And the process of pivoting is basically realizing that there is an opposite to everything. So it's very similar to like the law of polarity and the law of rhythm. So basically what you do is you pivot your attention to the side that you want versus the side that you don't want. And you just do it deliberately and consciously. So if you are thinking thoughts of lack, stop yourself in that moment and consider what is the opposite of lack, and then focus on that. And Toya and I were just speaking about this the other day when I mentioned that we can use our emotions as like guidance systems or like alerts, because it's going to tell you when something is being received by your senses that is contradicting your current programming.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if somebody says something to you and it upsets you, it went in through your ears. So that was the sense that it went through, right? Something you heard. However, it has disturbed you because your emotion is saying, beep, beep, beep. Mm-hmm. Hey, boss. What they just said, I don't have that in my files right here. Yeah, we don't support that. We don't subscribe to that. So mm-hmm. it's the fact that you were frustrated or upset by something somebody says is an indicator that it's contradicting a current belief or thought that you have, or mm-hmm. your, whatever your opinion is. So it gives you, the emotion gives you the opportunity to stop and to consciously bring your attention to it, because the mind is processing so many things at the same time all day long. If we were consciously aware of everything our mind did, we would be exhausted. We wouldn't even be able to function. So with the emotions, they are disruptors. So while we're unconsciously breathing, because we don't pay attention to that and things like that, our emotions are a stop, an alert to say, hey, hard stop. We need to take a look at this right here, because this isn't, you know, isn't what you told us to do. And so it gives you the minute to bring your awareness to that alert and then decide, okay, what do I want to do with it now? Okay, they just said something that I don't agree with. Do I want to continue to be open and consider what they're saying? Or do we want to, no, override it, continue to be upset? And so allow your emotions to help you to pivot. If you notice that your mood changes and you go from happy to sad, or happy to angry, or happy to excited, pay attention to what triggered it, because that's going to help you with understanding how to sense whether you agree with something or not. And then you'll know where to pivot your attention.
I was so appreciative of when I got to that part of Abraham Hicks, because you know, when you have your emotions going on, I didn't realize how much we can control it,
mm-hmm.
what we're feeling. And so it was more so just have your emotion or whatever you're experiencing. You may wish that it's just over already.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Abraham Hicks really teaches how to know you sit with it. You don't run from it. You control it. So the sitting in it is not thinking about like outcomes, scenarios, thinking about every, you know, we'll replay something in our head like 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, you know, you know what happened, but then now whatever you're feeling, you just feel it. Allow the energy to flow. Yeah. So it's not getting trapped up and getting stuck in there and you're triggered every single time. As you allow those emotions to just flow through, then the situation is still the situation, but it doesn't hurt anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You're not feeling any effect of it. And so now you're more conscious of what's going on around you, and you're in control of it. You're not all over the place with your emotions. You're in control of it. You're just allowing yourself to feel whatever this feeling is, allow it to flow.
Yeah.
Energy keeps moving, keep on going.
Yeah.
And I was, what book was that? Was it The Untethered Soul? I'm not exactly sure. I gotta think about that.
Okay.
But definitely sit with it, let the energy flow. You don't want to get it stuck, and then, like I said, you're always triggered by something, and then you take control. You decide in that moment how you're going to respond or what you feel at that moment. Like Jerrica said, at that moment you can stop. Do I want to feel this way? You can choose to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then just be happy. I choose to be happy. And then
be happy. And you're going to attract happiness all around you.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely, like Jericho was saying, at that moment, you make the decision of how you want to feel in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're manifesting, you want to continuously feel good. And feeling good, even knowing that whatever has happened, whatever is happening around you, it still ends up happening for your greater good.
Everything has its timing. Everything belongs, guys. Everything is within the timing that it's supposed to be in. You're exactly where you need to be right mm-hmm. now, literally. Mm-hmm. Take a look at the clock. What time is it? Whatever that time is, that you're exactly where you need to be. So mm-hmm. allow that to be encouraging, because this journey can be hard. And, you know, even hearing some of the things that we mentioned, whether it was in this episode or the previous episode about you creating your reality, I hope that you're beginning to understand that you truly do. And it's not anything that we're saying to upset you or that we want you to dwell on and grieve and feel sorry for yourself, but mm-hmm. it's to actually empower you so that you understand that, wow, so if I created that, think about pivot that thought and think about the great things that you could also create. Think mm-hmm. about the reprogramming that you can offer yourself so that when you are operating off of autopilot, which is your subconscious mind, which we do 95% of the time, at least you can fall back and trust that whatever you have programmed in there is working for your good, because mm-hmm. you've intentionally done the programming this time instead mm-hmm. of the programming from your upbringing, your religious institutions, your schools, your naysayers and other people that have poured into your life, whether good or bad. Mm-hmm. By taking that control, you get to program your own operating system. Absolutely. So whenever you're operating subconsciously and unconsciously, at least now you know what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. it's like buying a new phone and it has all this bloatware. When you first get it, like, you have to uninstall so much crap when you get a new computer or a new phone or a new tablet. They preload it with all this stuff. That's basically how we are. We started out as a clean slate, but then by the time we're an adult, we have so many apps that have already been downloaded into our mm-hmm. software. And we only know that those apps exist. It's not until you get to the app store,
mm-hmm.
which is the universe, to where you realize there are options that you don't have to only operate in the apps that you were installed with.
Right.
There are mm-hmm. other options, and you can uninstall the ones that no longer work and install the ones that you choose and the ones right. that actually mm-hmm. do work for you. So be encouraged, y'all. Be encouraged. I think we did pretty good this episode. I hope you guys got a good understanding of the law of attraction, how it works. I hope we've given you some good examples on how you can see it work in the small ways, like Toya mentioned, and just on a daily basis. We talked about working with your lower three chakras to support your ability to attract and manifest. We talked about what you could look at in your astrological chart that could also help. And we also talked about pivoting and gave you examples with that and how you can use your emotions and learn how to use your emotions to work for you instead of them running you. So,
right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you all so much for sharing this space with us.
Yes. Of course, please follow us. We are on Instagram. Our Instagram is beyond_your_beliefs. And feel free to shoot us an email, which is gobeyondyourbeliefs@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And please subscribe and share this content with your friends. And we cannot wait to get in the space again with you in the next episode.
All right, guys, until next time.
Bye.